on part four of a 10-part series called The Ten Commitments. And tonight we are blessed to be able to talk about the commitment to die to yourself. How much fun is this going to be? Come on, let's go hear Bill talk about dying to ourselves. Maybe if you're lucky, he'll poke you in the eye with his finger while he's talking. Let's go hear Bill talk about how you too can possibly pay more taxes. Let's go listen to Bill talk about how maybe you can have more pain in your life. I mean, who wants to hear topics like to die to yourself? Who wants to hear it? You know, I started thinking about it. It's a tough topic. Die to yourself. And what I'm going to talk about is, when I say die to ourselves, we're going to learn how to die to our flesh. We're going to learn how to put other people above ourselves, to put away our selfish desires, all those things, those worldly desires, those worldly fleshly things that God says, put those away, put them to death, have a funeral for them. That's what we're going to talk about. It's not so much fun to talk about, but sometimes the things that we don't want to hear about are the very things we need to hear about. And I do believe, and I become more and more convinced, even this week, that a lot of us don't get this at all. We have no clue what it means to die to ourselves. We have no idea. And you're going to see it tonight. Hopefully it'll be exposed to you. Hopefully your eyes will be open. You go, oh, I see what he's talking about. That's my prayer. I'm going to give you some practical examples. You and I have a hard time believing this. Because I want to tell you something. We are hardwired for self-preservation. We're hardwired for that. Meaning we'll do anything we can to protect ourselves. To make sure we get the best of everything. That we're happy and secure. That's how we're hardwired. So to hear somebody say, you got to die to yourself, is a hard thing. And I'll tell you what, I can't even believe, I'm going to show you something in a second, you won't even believe it. It just proves what I'm trying to tell you here, okay? You're going to see something that it's come to this. There's Christians and Christian music artists, this is what it's come to. And you're going to see why we need to talk about this as we watch this. So let's bring the lights down. I'm going to click this and just... You know, you're not going to believe it. Ready? Here we go. Well, you know what? They're going to get that going because you're going to see it in just a second. You keep working on that. That's just fine. They had it going earlier, trust me. But you're not going to believe it when you hear it. It's just unbelievable. So, dying to ourselves, it's honestly the hardest commitment that we're going to talk about in this whole series, to die to ourselves. Someone once said, the trouble with self-made men is that they worship their creator. The trouble with self-made men is they sometimes worship their creator. The point is, in this life, it's not about us, is it? It is not. Look here. Don't look back there. Look here. Okay, everybody's going. You're gonna, no. Okay. They'll work on it. Okay, they'll get it. It's not about us. In this life, God says it's not about us. And we are called to actually die to ourselves. Called to die. That's what we're called to do. It says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same is that of Christ Jesus. It's about others. It's not about us. And am I getting a nod to try this again? Probably not. So tonight we're going to look at how we can die to ourselves. So let's pull your sheet out. We're going to look at how we can kill ourselves in three easy steps, okay? Kill ourselves. Kill our flesh in three easy steps. And how we're going to do that, we just looked at a few verses in Philippians 2, that whole section, 2 through 7 or 8. We just read the first five verses. The next three will be our three main points on how to kill ourselves in three easy steps, okay? And I'm going to try this, but I think it's... If there's no sound, I'm going to keep on moving. Okay. First step. Well, we saw that. And we didn't read that one. Okay, I just read that. Here we go. First one. Commit to giving up your rights. That verse continues, the one we just read. We ended with, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. It continues on, Philippians 2:6. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality something to be grasped. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. If we're going to learn how to die to ourselves, the first thing we need to do is commit to giving up our rights. Jesus, we see in this verse, chose to give up his rights. He chose to give up his rights. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about that? You know, when we watch The Passion of the Christ, when we see that movie, you know, it's very disturbing. It honestly is. It's a disturbing thing to watch. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think for 1 minute that Jesus had to go through with that? Do you think he had to, that he was at the mercy of those Roman soldiers or the edict of Pontius Pilate? Or the mob that was surrounding him. Was he at their whims? Did he have to do what they told him to do? Did he have to go to the cross? Did he have to? Did he? Listen, do you realize who Jesus Christ was and is? Listen, he is the God of the universe. It says in Colossians 1, he created everything. Through him, everything was created. Through that man that was nailed to the cross, everything was created. He is the Creator God. Things could have been a lot different if Mel Gibson hadn't made the movie. Give Spielberg the movie and here's what happens. Things are a lot different. Jesus said to Peter at one point, when Peter pulled out the sword in the garden, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you think that I can call to my Father and call down 12 legions of angels? They're at my disposal, Peter. 12 legions of angels is 72,000 angels. So you let Spielberg write the story, and they try to put Jesus on the cross, and all of a sudden, 72,000 angels come down with Uzis, okay? And they're all around Jesus, man. And they're trying to do something to him. He's innocent. He didn't deserve. He put down his rights. He didn't deserve to die. He was perfect. He was sinless. And he could have called down 72,000 angels with these laser beam, electronic type things that just disintegrate people and just... And all there are just piles of smoke where the soldiers were and all the people who are mocking him, they just disintegrate. They're all gone. And Jesus could have walked up and told the angels, thank you very much, thank you, and headed on. It could have happened that way. He didn't have to go to the... He was God. For goodness sake, he didn't have to. He chose to. He didn't deserve to. He gave up his rights. That's what we just read. He gave up his rights. He gave up his right to a fair trial. He gave up his right to have a happy life on this earth. Jesus chose to give up his rights. He didn't have to die. In the garden, he struggled with that question because he knew he didn't have to go through with it either, didn't he? When he's in the garden praying, he said, God, if there's another way to do this, then let's do it. But I'm glad he said the next words. but not my will, but your will be done. He struggled with it because he knew he had to make a choice to give up his rights as the God of the universe to let a bunch of people nail him to a cross and kill him. He gave up his rights. You and I, if we want to die to our flesh, need to give up our rights. You know, we think we have rights. In this country especially, we kind of just swim in all these rights that we have. We have the right to be happy. We have the right to do with our free time whatever we want. We have the right to have pleasure or just to relax or to be free from pain. We have that right. We have the right to do what I want, to spend my money the way I want to think what I want, to go where I want, to do what I want. That's what we're told. That's the way we're raised. We have rights. And don't mess with me, okay? That's my right. You can't mess with my rights. God says, give it up. God says, give it all up. All your rights. All your rights. Your rights are no longer valid. We're going to look at why. Why don't we have rights? Here's the next point. Why do we give up our rights? It's because dead men and slaves have no rights. Dead men have no rights. Slaves have no rights. And you know what? We are dead according to the Gospels, according to the Scripture. Galatians 5:24 here says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature or flesh, these members, putting to death our flesh with its passions and its desires. If you belong to Christ, your passions, your fleshly desires have been crucified. Next verse says this. 1 Corinthians 5:15, 31 through 32. Paul said, I die every day. I mean that, brothers. I die every day. Do you die every day? Do you get up in the morning and remember, God, I have no rights. As your child, you're my master, like Steele was saying, as your slave, as having all my desires and all my passions have been crucified, I have no rights today. I die freshly today for you. I'm at your disposal. Whatever you want. It's not what I want. It's not about me, God. It's about you. Every day. Every day. Do you do that? Here's another verse. 1 Corinthians 7:22-23. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly. Sing it away. In the same way, he who was a free man when he was called in Christ is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become a slave of man. You were bought with a price. What was the price? We know what it is. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You and I were bought, meaning he owns us now. We belong to him. If you're a Christian, listen to me. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're a slave to Christ. And we don't like that. We don't like that, the connotations, but understand this. We have a good master. He is good to us, and he loves us and cares for us. The point is this. When we die, when we give up our rights, when we say, God, I'll do whatever you say, oftentimes what happens is God gives us those things that we desire back. The point is, and what's different about that is, he's calling the shots, not us. What I do with my money, what I do with my free time, what I do with my hobbies or not do with my hobbies, what I do with my life, it's all yours, God. And I give it to you, you tell me what to do. Oftentimes, it lines right back up with our good desires, and God gives it back to us and says, now use it for me. That's often what happens. So you think, I don't want to be a slave, that just doesn't sound good. Listen. Christ gave up his rights. We're to give up our rights. To be a slave of him. One thing I think of is it was about maybe 9 months ago, I was sitting having coffee with a guy at a coffee shop. And And I was asking, I was just getting to know him, just finding out a little bit about him. And as we talked and had coffee, he just turned to me after a while and said, "Bill, now why did you come to Utah? Why did you do that anyway? It doesn't make sense to me why you guys would come from Colorado and come here to Utah. Why'd you do that?" And at that point, I had an epiphany. It was like a boing, light went off in my mind. Why did I do that? But here's what I said, the light went on after I said it. I looked at him and I said, "Well, I came for you. I came for you." And he just kind of sat there looking at me like, I said, "Honestly, I came for you. I didn't know you at the time. But the fact is, I did come for you. I came for you. And I came for you and you and all of you. Why? Because I'm a slave to my master. My master said, 'I have business for you in Utah. Go there.' Why did you come? Because my master told me to. Because I have no rights. I didn't come here for the skiing. I didn't come here for the nice weather. I mean, I didn't come for the mountains. It's all there, though. It's beautiful and it's nice. But that's not why I came. It's not why. Because I am subject to my master's plans for me and his desires. I serve him and do what he wants me to." Oh, we have to die to our rights. We have to. If you're in Christ, you are dead to your passions and your desires. You have no rights. As a dead person, you have no rights. Think about that. I meditated on that because I started thinking, wait a minute. You think about this too. Maybe you're thinking this. Dead people have rights. They have the right to be, you know, they're dead, but they have rights. I mean, certainly they have rights. I started thinking about, well, they have the right to be, you know, treated properly after they're dead. Well, no, they don't. They don't have that right. They're dead. They don't have that right. The people that are taking care of them have that right to make sure that they're taken care of. But the body itself doesn't have any rights. They don't have a right to an attorney. If they don't have an attorney present, one will be appointed to them. They don't have that right. They don't have a right to free speech. They don't have a right to make a living. They don't have a right to use the bathroom. They don't have a right to drink water or breathe air. They have zero rights. What you need to lock into, people, listen to me, is that you're dead. When you become a Christian, you die to everything that was, everything that you were is dead. It's gone. Isn't that what the Bible says? The old is gone, the new has come. And you are now, you now belong to him because he bought you. He redeemed you with his blood. So you're dead. You have no rights. "Oh, but certainly, Bill, I have rights to just kind of do my own thing." No, you don't. Can you imagine some slave saying that to his master? "You know, come on, get off. I've got my rights to kind of go. I just want to watch TV. I don't want to serve you right now." No, slaves don't say that. And we can't say that to God either. "I have the right to do with my money what I want." No, you don't. You'll be held. If you did, then you wouldn't be held accountable for it. And I got to tell you something. You will be held accountable. For every word that comes out of your mouth, every penny that you spend, God will hold you accountable because it's his money. That's kind of a wild thought, isn't it? That's a little scary. You don't like that. But it's true. You better give up your rights. That's the first thing. If you want to kill yourself, that's the first step. Here's the second. Commit to putting others first. And we continue on in Philippians 2. Verse 7 says, "But Jesus made himself nothing." The God of the universe made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He made himself nothing. The one who made you, the one who created you, the one who gives you everything in your life, made himself nothing. And put you before himself. And put me before himself. That's what he did. How do we do that? How do we put others first? By considering the needs of other people. Philippians 2:3, we read it at the beginning. I'm going to read it again. Do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing. Out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better. Not similar, not the same, not worse, but better. Consider other people better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Think about other people. Are you thinking about other people? Or are you always trying to get your needs met? Or are you thinking about others? You know, the fastest way to quit getting your feelings hurt that people don't like you, you know the fastest way? Start thinking about other people. Get your eyes off yourself and start looking outward. That's the fastest way, because that happens to me. There's times I feel, you know, selfish, or feel like, oh, nobody likes me. Or I play that pity party one. It goes through my mind, too. You know what I realize right away, usually, is that, Bill, your eyes are in like this. Go and meet some people. Shake some hands. Greet some people. Take the initiative. Look outside yourself. And you know, as soon as I do that, everything changes. I don't feel so bad anymore, because it's not about me. I've given up my right to be needed. I've given up my right for people to like me. Therefore, I'm free to go out and love on other people. If you're constantly being hurt because you don't think people like you, you're being very, very selfish. That's what it is. Go out and love on people the way you want to be loved. And just see if your needs don't start getting met. Commit to put other people first. Don't be like Oscar Wilde, where he was quoted as saying, "Come over here and sit next to me. I'm dying to tell you all about myself." You know people like that? Meet people like that? You know, I call them the U-turn conversationists. You start talking with them, and everything you say, you know, Steele's talking to somebody, and Steele says, I did. I kind of wiped out and tore my ACLU, whatever that is. I don't know what it is. And I tore this thing, and it really hurts. You know, the first thing they say is, I had a splinter yesterday, and it really hurt, too. And I tell you what, it was the worst splinter, and I went right up here, and there was a little blood there, and I had to pull it out. And for a half hour, they talk about their hurt. You know people like that? Are you like that? It's a U-turn conversation. It's all about me, baby. It's about me. No, that is not the way you put your flesh to death. It's about other people. It's about being a good listener. Listen, observe, ask good questions. We had small group the other night. And we had a new couple in our church that's coming to our small group. And they happened to notice we have a kind of an older computer, and the screen is at the top of the screen. It's all black lines kind of going across, and you can barely read what's on the screen in the top third of our screen. And, you know, you get to know where stuff's at because you can't see it. You got to click by faith, you know, where we put that mouse up there and go, I just missed it, and click around. And that's just the way we've learned to live with that. Well, they noticed that. And then this weekend we had them over for lunch, and they came, and he was carrying a flat panel LCD screen. Hooked that baby up, and it worked like a charm. I mean, he didn't have to do that. We didn't ask him to do that. He saw a need. He observed a need, and he did something about it. That's somebody that puts others before themselves. That's the way God wants us to be with each other. You've heard the Burger King motto, "Have it your way." We need a new motto in the church: "Have it their way." Have it there. Do it their way. Whatever they want, let's do it that way. Maybe they want to go to this restaurant, but you want to go to this restaurant. God would say, die a little more and go to their restaurant. Well, they want to go to this movie and you want to go to that movie. Well, die and go to their movie. Do it their way. You want to have good relationships? You want to have a great marriage? You want to have a life that's full and robust? Go home and die. Die a little bit more, just like, what is it, James Bond, die another day? Do it. And your marriage will grow. Go home and die a little bit more to your wife, to your husband. Die to yourself. Die to yourself a little bit more. I thought of some examples, because I wanted to give you guys some examples. I forgot to bring them. My wife and I sometimes will have in-home dates, so we'll just go watch a movie, or sometimes we go to the theater and watch a movie. And you got to decide which movie you're going to watch, you know. And she's a woman, and I'm a man. And, you know, if Pride and Prejudice is out there, she wants to see that. And if Band of Brothers is showing, and, you know, I want to see that. And we have both videos at home, and it's like, which one are we going to watch? You know, I've watched all 8 episodes of The Old Pride and Prejudice with my wife. And it is wonderful. I actually enjoyed it. It's a complete chick flick, but I enjoyed it, you know. She has yet to watch Band of Brothers with me, but she watched Saving Private Ryan with me. And it was, the choice is this, you know, Band of Brothers, Pride and Prejudice, chick flick man movie. Which one do we want? Well, of course I want this one. I want some action, baby. She wants to watch this. What am I going to do? I'm going to die is the answer. I don't always die. Sometimes I flail and I kick and I want my way. And my selfishness comes out and we're going to watch Band of Brothers. Or do I die and say, you know what? I'm going to do what she wants. I've watched a lot of chick flicks in my life. Some of them have been pretty good. I actually enjoyed them. I'll admit that. Here's one way I have to die every day. A lot of times at the end of my day, my boys are 12 down to 5, especially the little ones. They're chomping at the bit to wrestle with me. Dad, will you wrestle with me? Will you wrestle with us? Will you chase us? In my flesh, you know, I'm thinking, I just want to sit down and do nothing. I just want to veg out and watch TV. That's all I want to do. I don't want to wrestle. That's the last thing I want to do. But you know what? You know what I have to do? To make a right choice, you know what I have to do? I got to die. I got to die to my desires, my passions, and I got to get on that floor and wrestle with those little boys. That's the right answer. Or play with them. When my eyes, I feel like I'm just going to fall asleep. And play with them. Play Candyland. Our cards are about worn out on the Candyland game. After 4 little boys. Play another game of Candyland. Play another game. You know, my flesh doesn't want to do that. I got to kill my flesh. I got to put it to death. You know, in the morning when I'm having breakfast with my family, you know what I want to do? There's a fresh paper out on the sidewalk. It's sitting out there. I can smell it. Salt Lake Trib. Just hasn't been opened. It's just fresh. Oh, I want to read it so bad. Sometimes I'll even send one of the boys, go get my paper. Go get the paper. And they'll run out and get it. And I'll take it out. And they're sitting around ahead. And I'll open and I'll look at the headlines and look at my family. And I say, I got to die. I don't read the paper hardly ever. We get it. We've got it for years. I hardly ever read it. I open, I see the headline. I put it off the chair so I can have conversation with my boys and my family at breakfast. Because that's the right answer. I don't have a right to read the paper. I haven't read the paper in years. I almost read it this morning. It was Saturday. The boys slept in. I almost read it. I had to die to that. You know, I could choose to buy toys, adult toys with my money. I could boats or whatever. I could choose to do that. You know what? I have to die to my fleshly desires and spend it and give it away. My flesh wants to do all these things that everybody else is doing, and it looks kind of fun. And it's not that I don't spend my money on ourselves or take vacations or do cool stuff with our money, but you know what? There's a lot of money that's not going to my toys that could if I just made that choice, but I've got to die to my fleshly desires because God has called me to use my money in different ways. My hobbies, you know? I don't have a lot of hobbies anymore. And hobbies aren't bad. I'm just talking for myself. I just don't have time. Honestly, I don't know how some of you guys do it. How you have time to do all your stuff. Is there any time left over for God? I don't see how you do it. Honestly, I just don't see it. Maybe you do it really well. I don't even have time. I used to ski more when I lived in Iowa. Then I lived in Colorado for 10 years and here for 7 years. I skied way more than when I lived in Iowa. Because I was single and we'd drive out here and ski. I don't have time to ski. I don't have time to do woodworking. I don't have time for any of that. Not that I would enjoy it. I honestly just don't have the time. Because I've had to die. Something I had to give. You know, my wife is a good example of dying to herself. One thing that about my wife is that she loves to serve me. She loves to die to herself and let me have my way too. So in a good marriage, that's what you're doing. You're both fighting to be on the bottom. No, let's do it your way. No, let's do it your way. Let's do it your way. Here's one way that I'll show you that she died this last October. And I'm really appreciative of the fact that she died to this. And you may not understand this if you see these pictures, but my wife hates seafood and lobsters, okay? She hates it. Just the smell of it, it just grosses her out, makes her want to gag. She the idea of putting a lobster in a boiling pot of water, she just doesn't, you know, she can't even comprehend that. But here we are, my sweet wife, on a trip to Maine last year, last October. She actually not only allowed me and enjoyed watching me eat lobster, she allowed us to go out on this little fishing boat and do some lobstering. She's actually holding a lobster. She's putting a band on a lobster that we caught in a trap. And we went around the harbor in this little lobster boat. Smelled to high heaven like fish, you know. Just can't believe she even did it. And she enjoyed, look at her, she enjoyed herself. And then we went home and I cooked the lobsters right in the house. Every night I cooked these lobsters and she enjoyed it. She's taking the picture. Let me take it. She's taking my picture all over the place and she's not eating lobster. But she has died to herself. I mean, honestly, if you don't like that smell, it smells the whole house up, doesn't it? But she said, no, you do it because you enjoy it. That's what it means to die. Now, there's lots of ways we can die. There's lots of opportunities to die, isn't there? All around you. If you want to have a happy life, listen, find ways to die. Find ways to die. What it also means is yielding to others. Yielding, giving up. Giving way to other people. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Listen, the goal of the Christian race of life is to come in second place, behind everybody else. That's the goal of the Christian life. Come in second. I want you to win. It's kind of like this church here that we started in this building about, I think, 3 years ago or so. We started this church here and we only had a portion of the building and it started growing. And there was a church from Michigan that called us and said, hey, we saw your stuff on the internet. We're thinking about coming and starting a church. I said, come. We'll bless you. We want you to succeed. We'll help you. We'll do whatever we can. And they came, a group of them came, and they started meeting. They didn't have any place to meet. We said, meet in our building. We don't, you know, you can have it all day Sunday. We only meet Saturday nights. It's empty. Come meet. So they met for about a year in this building on Sunday mornings. When it came time for their big launch, they had no building. They couldn't find a building. They had money to buy a building. They just couldn't find a building in town. We said, meet here. But we're a different church. We're not even part of your movement or your group of churches. We said, meet here if you want to. You're welcome. Carte blanche. It's all yours. We're not using it anyway. We had a special service for K2 when they kicked off and we met as two churches together and we prayed that God would bless them way more. And I'll never forget praying that. If you were there, you remember me praying. God, I pray that you bless these guys way more than you ever bless us. God, make them increase. And I meant it. And they've grown from zero to 900 people, 955 last weekend in just a year. In this building on Sunday mornings. And I am so thrilled. We are so thrilled about it. Why? Because we have died to our fleshly desires to be the biggest and the greatest. Now, I did pray, God, make them big. Well, that's fine if they're bigger than us, just as long as we're right behind them. That's just fine. Because we want to grow too. It means change lives. You know, we're here to change lives. We're here to help people find Christ. I could care less if somebody gets bigger than us. I just rejoice in it. That those guys have grown so much. And it's the kingdom that's growing. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we've died to that. Some churches and some pastors would have, as a matter of fact, when I tell pastors that, they go, how on earth how do you guys do that? Aren't you jealous? Isn't that hard? And I'll say, you know, there's times where I get hit with that, but I've died to it. And as a church, you know what? We've died to it. It'd be a lot easier not to have now that they're 900. It's hard to work with another church. We've got to swap this out every weekend. They got to be them and we got to be us. And there's problems with the board and there's problems with coffee. But you know what? Who cares? We're dead to that. So what if there's problems? Bring it on. The kingdom's growing. It's God's plan. It's not our plan anymore. We have learned as a church, it's a good thing to die. Because God's got his agenda and he will bless us when we die. We need to yield to other people. We need to yield to other people. We don't want to say this. I love you enough to die for you. Just don't make me late for my golf game. We can have that attitude, you know. I'll do the big, I'll die for you. But, you know, those little things are what really get to us, isn't it? Dying in those little areas. Let's move on. Number three. Third step in killing ourselves. First one is to commit to giving up our rights. Second, commit to putting others first. Third, commit to taking up our cross and dying. Philippians 2:8, the last verse in that section, about how our attitude should be the same as Christ, says, "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Listen, dying to yourself is a process. Just like Jesus, it was a process. He became obedient to death. He gave up his rights and he died. In the same way, God calls us to take our cross. John 12, this is an amazing verse. "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus was talking, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." I talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago, but this illustration, this picture, this word picture Jesus gives of a seed, saying that we're like a seed. Unless a kernel of corn, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, something happens. If it doesn't die, here's what happens. It remains all alone. And all the Christians I know, they feel so alone. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe that's why this message is for you. Maybe you haven't died yet. Maybe you are living for you. Maybe it's all about you. It's about me, about my needs, about me getting happy, about me being the person I want to be, me spending my money, doing my time, whatever it is, it's all about me. If you're that kind of Christian, you will remain all alone. You'll feel lonely. Maybe depressed. But, Jesus said, but if that kernel of corn dies, if that seed dies, you dig a little hole, you put that seed in there, you cover it up. You know what? When you do that, that seed, it feels alone, doesn't it? It's dark, it's damp, it's cold, and there's nobody else around. Nobody can see me. I'm just alone, and it can feel that way. The dying process is a hard process. But you got to die. Too many of us try to wiggle out of that hole and kind of pop our head up and see what's going on. God wants us to die, get in the hole, and die to ourselves, our self-desires, our selfishness, when it's all about us, and die to that. And say, God, I'm at your command, whatever you want. Everything I have is yours. Every day I die, Paul said. If you do that, if you die, then something happens. The Holy Spirit, the reign of the Holy Spirit comes down on you, that dead seed, and the sun shines on you, and you bear fruit 100, 1,000, 10,000 times what you would have been if you never died. I've experienced that in my life. I have experienced the hundredfold. I have died to things that I thought would make me happy, trusting that God wanted me to give it up. You know what? God has given me back 100-fold. It's like Steve was saying about the Italy trip. You know, that cost those guys a lot of money and time and energy, and they died to themselves, and God has birthed fruit in their lives for sure. The Christian life is an amazing irony. If you want to live, you got to die. That's what God calls us to do. Here's another reason we should die, is because selfishness will ultimately destroy you. It will. It'll destroy you. It'll take you out of the game. Look what it says in Luke. "Then he said to all, 'Anyone who wants to follow me must put aside his own desires and conveniences and carry his cross with him every day and keep close to me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. But whoever insists on keeping his life will lose it.'" That's the irony. That's the supreme irony of the Christian life. If you try to hold on to your life and make your life all about you and try to protect yourself and build your little kingdom on this earth, you'll lose your life. You'll lose it. And you'll wonder, where's the abundant life that God promised? But if you give it all up. And again, I'm telling you, every day I've got to make this choice because my flesh struggles against this. Every day I got to die. Every day I got to remind myself. That's why I have people around me to help me, to remind me. You got to die. If I don't, my selfishness will destroy me. I've seen it over and over and over again in marriages. Selfishness is a ticking time bomb in marriages. And until at least one of the marriage partners humbles themselves, it's going to explode. Selfishness. Die to yourself. Well, I don't like the way he leaves crumbs on the counter. Die to yourself. I don't like the way she squeezes the toothpaste. Die to it. Get over it. And the more you die, the better your marriage will be, the better your friendships will be. But they do this to me. Well, then die to it. You don't have any rights anyway. Give it up. We got to die. Summary. How do we find life? Last verse, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. This is the result of Jesus giving up his rights, putting other people first and taking up his cross. This is the results. Talking about Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God, when Jesus died, God exalted him. If you want a resurrection experience, let me tell you something, then you better have a crucifixion experience as well. You better take up your cross if you want to experience the joy of the resurrection in your life. Are you dying to yourself? Last point. Here's the secret to a satisfied life. If you haven't got it yet, here's what it is. Go and die some more. What are you going to do tonight? Go and die some more. What are you going to do in your marriage? Go and die some more. What are you going to do in your friendships? Go, I can't hear you. Go and die some more. When you wonder what you should do in a situation, what are you going to do?
Die.
But I want to do this. Die. And God will exalt you. And you know what I found? The very things that you give up, God gives them back to you, sometimes 100-fold. Those things you thought would make you happy, God, you can't have this one, because this will make me, I can't die to this. When you finally let it go and die to it, God says, good, now I can fill you with what's really going to satisfy you, because I can't pour my treasures into hands already full. Let it go. Let it go and die some more. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are such a good example to us tonight, and how you gave up your rights, the rights that you deserved, God, that you didn't do anything to deserve being put on the cross, yet you gave up your rights. You put other people, you put us before yourself even, God. We thank you that you committed to take up your cross. You made that choice. And oh, how hard it is for us to make the choice. How hard it is for me to wrestle with my 5-year-old when I'm so tired or think I'm tired or want to do something else. God, yet you took up your cross and you died. Help me tonight to be one that dies more. I'm going to go home and I'm going to die more. Help me to do that, God. Help me make the right choices to be like that seed that goes in the ground and dies so that I can bear much fruit, God. Help me, I pray. Help all of us to be committed to dying to ourselves so that we can be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.